The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
All right, welcome back to another episode of The Push. This is your boy Sean, and I'm joined with my man Mo. Mo, how you doing today?
I'm doing quite well, sir. And yourself?
Man, I'm doing good, man. I'm living life lovely. Nice spring weather. Watching some women's college basketball. You can't call it March. March Madness
when you call it March Madness.
March Madness is only for the men, they say. Don, how you doing, bro?
I'm good, man. How are you? Glad I can make it to my first true opportunity here on The Push.
Yeah, man. I'm looking forward to it. So, fellas, let's dive right in. And the first topic that I want to talk about is the seemingly end of the Wednesday Night Wars. So, the report is out that due to Universal shutting down NBC Sports and their deal with NHL, that NXT will be moving to Tuesdays pretty soon, which will end the Wednesday Night War between NXT and AEW's Dynamite show. And, you know, we've seen what conversation is or the comments are on social media that this pretty much wraps up the win for AEW in the wars on Wednesday nights. So before I get, I want to hear what you got to say about that, Mo. What do you think about the Wednesday Night Wars coming to an end? And was there a winner?
All right, so the Wednesday Night Wars coming to an end. I don't want to say really there was a winner, because if I'm looking at it, AEW, the reason why AEW, maybe claim with themselves the winners, because they had the ratings, they had the higher ratings for most of the time. But watching NXT was definitely light years of them in terms of booking, storylines, their women's division blew AEW out the water. So, they'll claim victory because, hey, we had good ratings. We won a lot of the demographics, the 18 to 35, which was the important demographics. We won that, the majority of the time. So they'll claim victory. But for me, AEW just wasn't clicking. It wasn't really grabbing my attention. They have a lot of talent there. And mainly you just see a lot of people just on Dark or now Dark Elevation. And so these shows, it was just like, okay, they had these happen, but then it's like the storylines on Wednesday really wasn't grabbing my attention. I would put on AEW and end up falling asleep.
And that would be that. Oh, wow. not Dynamite. Dynamite is a word that's supposed to excite you, like Nitro, give you energy. And you telling me AEW's premiere show puts you to sleep?
Put me to sleep.
Well, I'm sure when you fell asleep that one of those Young Buck leg slaps could have woke you up, right?
Oh, clearly it did. Clearly.
Oh, okay. You know clearly what I mean? Yeah, gotta have the leg slaps up in there.
Yeah.
What about you, Don? How you feel about the Wednesday Night Wars coming to an end?
Random off day on night that they established. NXT was Wednesday nights. Lucha Underground. It was an upstart, but NXT eventually won out. They thought they were going to do the same random off day on night. Tuesday. First, took them off their network. Was like, nah, we don't really be thinking about these other folks. We do us. But all of a sudden, NXT is popping up on the USA Network. Not even a WWE exclusive no more. Mm. Okay. But we ain't thinking about y'all. That's fine. Now, we about to go to a different night, Tuesday, because it's a slot open up. Mm-hmm. Sure is. Sure is, ain't it? Mm-hmm. It's easier to compete. Nah, I'm just messing around. it's just the thing where, you know, Vince is always trying to get his eyes on his joint by himself.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you can't buy him out, which you clearly can't do in this case, then he'll, you know, move his other show around to accommodate where they can be the only one doing the deal.
It was too early for Vince to show up on Dynamite talking about what his recommendation. Too early for that.
He's gonna put AEW on the shelf.
So, you know, eventually you kind of figure that one of these shows would probably take a move, but I didn't think it would be WWE and not this.
Yeah.
So that's my thoughts on it.
Yeah. But, you know, I kind of vibe with something that you said. You know, I really call WWE on their bullshit. Number one, for moving NXT off the network to USA in the first place. Because I don't know if you all remember, way before AEW was a thing, you know, there were always reports out there that, you know, USA or other networks were trying to get that NXT property. I remember a few years back that Fox was trying to get it at some point. When we first started to hear about the Fox deal for SmackDown, right, you know, there was talk about NXT possibly being on FS1. Yeah. But no, you know, WWE resisted that. But as soon as AEW came around and, you know, chose Wednesday night for Dynamite, oh no, now we got to get off the network. Now we got to compete. So, you know, I'm in the middle, you know. I'm in the middle with that. You know, I call WWE on their bullshit for making a move in the first place, but at the same time, I feel them because, you know, I do respect Lucha Underground and, you know, they were on Wednesdays first, but, you know, Wednesday, that was NXT night before AEW. AEW started it, you know, the whole perceived war, you know, and WWE played right into their hands with it, you know? And I don't, so in saying that, I know that there's a population of folks who support both programs. But then there's that population of folks who are Team NXT and Team AEW. And I know as soon as the official word comes out that NXT is moving to Tuesday nights, then all the Team AEW folks are going to be screaming victory. And
they're about to do a Bo Dallas victory lap, homie.
Yo, man, they're going to all the parades on the internet streets, man. They gonna come hard. But let me caution you folks, you know, I'd be really careful touting a win for AEW over the WWE for AEW's A show beating WWE's C show.
But that's where you're wrong though, because the whole stack is not for Raw. It's not for SmackDown. AEW understands exactly the fan base they're trying to get. They trying to get the people who watch NXT. They not trying to get people who watch Raw. They not trying to really get people who watch SmackDown. But if you watch NXT and you like a hardcore wrestling fan and you know about people from the indies and, you know, you just want to see more straight up wrestling with a little gimmick put in there, not a lot of ha-ha entertainment, then you're watching either NXT or AEW on a pretty regular basis. So they understood exactly who they were going for. I think a lot of people thought they were trying to go for Raw, whatever. They may make fun of that, but they know exactly who their fan base is that they're trying to recruit is. That's why they put it on Wednesday.
So I agree that they know what fan that they're going for. I just don't think the fan understands that. The fan sees it differently.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, so from that sense, that's what I'm saying.
They're looking at organization WWE versus organization AEW.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the part that I want to caution folks. Like, you know, AEW did their job. You know, they came out there, they made a statement, you know, despite, you know, the leg slaps and the Dark Order punches. They still made it happen. But, you know, from the fan standpoint, you know, let's kind of rein that back a little bit.
See, for all of that you can give them, if you watch it from week to week, you'll be like, yeah, but they gave us the Britt Baker Thunder Rosa lights out match last week.
Oh man.
Oh, wow. Okay. So they finally gave a women's main event that had the industry talking. When does NXT have not delivered
with women's matches? That is true. That is true. But I'm just saying, for the things that everybody wants to kind of knock AEW for, they do have some banger matches on Dynamite. Like anything that Ray Phoenix is in, it's pretty banging. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, people bang it or whatever for what they're doing as far as their, you know, execution, as far as, you know, the smoothness of the in-ring talent, because everybody is not on a polished level like WWE. But in some sense, I kind of like that, because styles make fights, and, you know what I'm saying, it is so, you know, WWE sometimes is so clean, you know what I'm saying, that when something like what happened at Fastlane happens, it's so noticeable, you know what I'm saying? It's like, oh my gosh, like Big E and Apollo, what are y'all doing? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Whereas in AEW, you might see that and it just be like, you know, that dude is kind of awkward. That is his ring style. So, you know, like an Eddie Kingston, you know what I'm saying? He ain't really got no style.
Yeah.
He's just in there doing what he do. You know what I'm saying? And that's cool to see him try to go up against some high-flying dude that does whatever, so forth and so on. You know. I think there's a run-in.
There we go. Tag. We got the tag. Sam's on board.
What's going on, Mr. Kalunga?
Just chilling.
Welcome to the push, sir.
Is this like the bump?
Yeah, you could sort of say that, but it's way cool.
No one's ever explained to me what the bump is. What the heck is a bump? No one's ever explained that.
WWE Good Morning America, in essence.
Oh, okay.
With a bunch of people you don't know.
Right.
But you tune in to see Caleb Braxton.
Hey, Don, did you get my last text about the notes?
I don't think so. Okay. I got you. It'll take us just a quick minute. But yeah, we can get Sam's. Sam's always got some good thoughts on AEW. We're talking about AEW running NXT off of Wednesday nights.
I mean, that's what Cody wants you to think.
That's all you got?
Yeah, I got no opinion on that.
Well, I'll say this. You know, Don, you brought up a point, you know, bringing... you know, that was a perfect segue into what I wanted to talk about next. You know, that match was really, really exciting, man. It's something that I've been waiting on for a while for AEW, just to feature their women more on a high level. And it really got me thinking about Dynamite at the end of the night and thinking about the company's direction. Like, where do you all see Dynamite's direction or AEW's direction right now? Are they featuring the right guys? Are they featuring the right talent? Their storylines? How do you feel about all the EVPs having titles except for one? Just talk about AEW in general. You know, what are you feeling?
Go ahead, Mo.
I went first the last time.
Well, all right, I'll go.
So that's the thing that's bothering me the most. The EVPs, Young Bucks holding tag team titles and Kenny Omega holding the top title. It's like, you're not really doing anything by you being in the position that you are in within the company and holding the top titles. You're not really moving the needle for me. You're just basically like a hired corporate, just showing off, I guess, trying to make a name for the company. It's just not, like I said, it really doesn't move the deal for me. It's like, Omega's a champion. It was like, I like Omega better when he was in Japan. And I really didn't see him as much. Same with the Young Bucks. And it's like, that's the truth. I thought it would be something different, but when I see him, I'm like, okay, I'm bored. Like, I watched when it was at the pay-per-view, and they doing their flips and their choreography and everything, and I'm like, it's not really moving me. I'm like, you know, I'm not interested at all. I'm just like, whatever. And, you know, everyone is like, well, you gotta watch that match. And they say, I watched that match just for like over a year. Saw them at Baltimore Live, and I was like, okay, I guess. They had, Omega and Moxley had a lights out match in Baltimore that went on forever. You know, it was like, they don't be right with the timing either. It's just, it's like they had a spark and everything was looking fine. It was like, okay, we got some new faces on TV, but you're not really showing me anything that makes me want to say, okay, you're really giving WWE a run for their money. And WWE, with their bullshit that they try to put in front of us, you know, at least we can get things to switch up as much, even with some of the stuff we don't like. But AEW, I mean, they're just like, on that, just flat. They're just flat. There's nothing really I can just make one just turn it down to say, okay, I'm going to watch them every Wednesday night.
Well, to their credit, I'll give the boys their credit. They waited to get the titles. They didn't just go for the gusto. Kenny Omega went through some, you know, hard times. You know what I'm saying? He got the tag team titles for a hot minute, and then he branched out. Young Bucks, you know what I'm saying? They tried to put over some more tag teams to kind of build up the tag team division to start out. So I thought that they kind of maneuvered themselves very well in that way. AEW's problem is a little mix of, it's a little still too indie-rific for what people are used to when it comes to their wrestling. Because again, they're used to their wrestling being so polished, right? Their next problem is they haven't figured out the mix of their two-hour program. WWE and NXT in particular, I will just use NXT because that's their competition. They have figured out how to maximize their minutes. So they can get you three women segments in their 2 hours somehow. they can get you two tag team segments, their main segment, and their undercard title all in that 2 hours. Where AEW still has a hard time getting two quality women segments in a show, let alone three. You know what I'm saying? And another thing that they have going on is they're trying to run the old school programming where dark is your squash matches. Dark is where you get to see people come in and out. Some people stay, some people go, whatever. That's fine. But you've got to be able to incorporate that into your main programming. You can't have a team like Bear Country just show up out the blue on a pay-per-view before they even go to Dynamite. You know, you can't have them skip steps because the people who watch Dynamite more than likely aren't watching Dark and Elevation. Sorry.
That's true.
So if it's not happening on that Wednesday night 2 hours, then you're going to have to figure out a new way to try to get those people up there. They do a poor job, especially in the women's division, because that's really, if they have the talent, they could match NXT like match for match if they would just concentrate on three stories. That's what NXT does very well with their women's division. They can concentrate on three stories and have the follow-ups. Like, you have Jay Cargill win this match with Shaq
against God.
You don't have the next week Jade Cargill coming out either at home, it live in person, talking shit to follow it.
And then wears red velvet right back in the crowd.
Right. Exactly. So that's their problem. They get you going, but they don't give you enough of the follow-up to keep you interested. So that's where Mo has his fall-off. So, you know what I'm saying? So you'll start to get with something, but because they don't, especially in the women's division, they don't take the necessary steps to get you to that extra point, you fall off very quick. You know, you can listen to me and Miss Simi talk about this every week on The Dark Match if you're on the Patreon. But it's just a lack of continuity in the women's division that is holding their whole programming back. Because everything else, Heyman, Adam Page, star, is going to have the belt.
Oh, man.
MJF, ultimate heel, going to be like a great heel champion for a long time. Have the belt a lot of times. You know, they have the brawlers. They have the big guys. They have all of the ingredients. They have the high flyers. They have the tag teams. The only thing they don't have is just the cohesion week after week with the stories throughout the whole program. It's all they need. Once they get that, I think that they'll be back on course. They had it in the very beginning, and then they kind of lost their way, and they haven't been able to get back on track.
Yeah. I would like to add that I watch AEW Dynamite and Kenny Omega's Japanese fetish gets on my nerves.
He's trying to show people the Joshis, man. He's trying to show you have love for
him. Hey,
man. Well, my thing, why should I care about that?
You know what I mean? Like, so, I was like, man, it took you this long to put Britt Baker in the main event. Like, she should have been in the main event a year ago.
Hey, I've been over here talking to y'all, and I was on mute.
You was on mute, man. Sorry. Yeah, I wonder what happened. The thing about Britt Baker is, unfortunately, well, knock on wood, whenever she was in a big spot, she got hurt. The last couple of times she's been in a big spot, she hadn't got hurt. So, you know.
Do you think she would have had the title by now if she wasn't hurt?
Possibly.
No.
But they didn't know what to do. See, what they see, they had, see, here's the thing. They had plans to do one thing, and then things went another way. They thought Britt Baker was going to be the baby face, everybody loves me, ha 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 ha. But
that 5-star tooth and nail match though.
Right. But it didn't go that way. So then when they reversed course and made her the heel, all of a sudden they were like, oh no, who are we gonna make the baby face because we've got so many heels? We got Nyla Rose, we got this person, we got that person. Chris Statlander was probably gonna be the person to really be the champion. Yeah. And then Britt Baker as the heel go against her and get the title. That was probably what they had lining up, but then injuries happened to both of them. So now you got
that was really good too.
There was Chris Statlander and there was the other girl, the girl that WWE just signed. I think WWE got the better of the two. I'm forgetting her. I'm blanking on her name right now, but I saw her wrestle in Jersey. She was.
You're talking about Zoe Stark?
There's three of them.
Maybe it's Zoe Stark.
No. The other tall big girl who looks kind of like Statlander. Tall girl. They just signed her.
Oh, okay. I have to look it up.
I'm forgetting. I'm blanking on her name, but there's three of them. There was Chris Statlander. There was the other girl. And there's the other Maria Maniac.
Mm-hmm.
Like those three, like all have a similar look, but WWE signed the one with the more talented one. I'm blanking on her name, and I know I'm gonna hit my head later on trying to think of what her name was.
So yeah, so but again, the thing is, they don't have anybody focused singularly on the women's division. If it's true that Kenny Omega and Tony Khan and Brandi Rhodes are like a three-headed monster for their women's division, nah, that ain't working, Chief.
Yeah, man, they need to fire somebody else.
So what they need to do, so like they've got Dustin training them, so you know their wrestling is going to improve. I don't have any problem with that.
Yeah.
What, hey, 9 months brandy free. I was all for it.
So
look, there was a point where, and I don't know if Mo remembers, but you know this was one of my rants that Mo kind of highlighted on Twitter. Like Brandi Rhodes has a better record than Britt Baker. What the fuck?
She also has an action figure.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Brandi Rhodes should not have a better record than your top 10 on the roster. And top 10 is kind of nice. You know? Problem.
Pushing it.
Problem.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not everything that we thought it was going to be that they promised. Of course, they have their hold.
Yeah.
But it's a few easy fixes to just concentrate on a few things that matter. And they can be right back in the talk of the town again.
And the Young Bucks could take that fucking deer skin off the tag team titles.
Yeah, what is that?
That's the EVPs having a personalized belt that's their spinner title.
Right.
Okay, so the person I was thinking about was Steph DeLander. WWE just signed
her. Oh, okay. I remember that.
Yeah.
Y'all want to hear my take on AEW?
Yeah.
Don already knows.
Definitely.
Mo does too. Okay, so I've tried to watch some episodes impartially. It's just not hidden. Like their talent, they keep signing these indie darlings that, like, you know, the hardcore is like, and but they're not, these people are not ready for television. Like look at the former Smash Brothers, the Dark Order.
Yeah,
look at these guys. Hey, I mean,
Stu Grayson gonna make sure you see him if he on TV. You don't know,
these are not television people. What's his name? The Butcher and the Baker.
Butcher and the Blade.
Yeah, these are not ready for TV. They're not ready for TV.
You're going to make me call him the Baker from now on. I love it.
That was actually a complete accident because I forgot what it was called. The Blade. There you go.
The Butcher, Blade, and Bunny.
Yeah. Like the Butcher, the Blade, and the Bunny.
God,
the Butcher, Baker, and the
Candlestick. I forgot her name was Allie before, but yeah. that made... Completely forgot that.
And then, like, yeah, there's just some of these people, like Brandon Cutler. Like, he literally just got that job because he went to middle school with the Bucks. Literally, the only reason he's hired. That other guy, Dr. Luther.
Yeah.
He tries to play it off like he's some kind of Japanese legend. He's not. He was a scrub in Japan in the early 90s. Like, he only has that job because he's Jericho's friend.
That's right.
That's right.
Same thing with Sean Spears.
Oh, don't get me started on Sean Spears.
Oh, man. It's like, I love the idea of the Pinnacle, but then I look over at Sean Spears and I'm
he's the one that can get beat up. He's the one that can take the falls. So that's his purpose right there.
What's the worst four horsemen that you can think of? That's Sean Spears.
When you're putting together the four horsemen in your head, Sean Spears is not one of them.
It's like Mongo.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Hopefully he doesn't come out with a little doggy.
Well, it looked like he had the doggy on his hair when they got together on Dynamite last
night.
It's like, what the fuck?
Some of these people are just like, yeah, I've heard of you on the indies, but it's just like, you're too indie. You're just like Kip Sabian, Joey Janela. These dudes, like Darby Allin, is a pro. He's a talent. He was an Evolve. He was part of that crop along with Austin Theory, Timothy Thatcher, Keith Lee. He was in that class. And instead of I don't know what happened, but he ended up with these goofs.
Because he wanted the parkour stuff.
Okay. He wanted to do the X game shit, I guess. I don't know. It's just like, yeah, somebody like MJF is a phenomenal talent right there. They could have easily just raided other, like, come on, he's a son of a billionaire. He can raid MLW. He can raid all these other places. He can raid ROH. Instead, they just signed these dudes that nobody heard of, except for like five people on the internet.
Now, that would have been a very interesting approach if they would have been on some
like Jonathan Fatu. If they got if they get Jonathan Fatu, it's over.
Yeah,
Jacob Fatu. Yeah, him too. That guy.
If he would have went that route and been like, okay, whose contract is up that's worth a damn and still got a name, and I'm going to get him.
No, not even up. You could buy them out. He could buy their contract out.
If he was spending money like that to start it. Oh, yeah. Now, this would be a whole different conversation.
Whole other conversation. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they didn't want to go. I guess in theory, though, his thinking was right. Because if he would have spent all that money to get these guys and then just had the TV to have to rely on and not have the in-person gate that the pandemic took away, they'd be in the red right now.
They might be gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's because he's a billionaire. Don't mean billionaires don't like you losing money,
right?
So, right. Yeah.
But MLW had like a crop of talent, like Alexander Hammerstone. They had that dude. Man, they had all kind. Man, they got what's her name? Old girl over there.
So
Selena De La Renta. Yes. Yeah. Oh my God. Whoever she ends up, man, she's gonna be a star.
Only like what, 24?
Yeah, she's really young. 20s. She's early in her early 20s.
Yeah.
So before we move on, let me just ask, if you led the creative direction of AEW going forward, who are those talents that you would focus on to build a brand?
That's easy. For your singles champion, Hangman Adam Page. MJ.
Yes.
Those are the top two dogs in that category.
Tag team. I would also have Dustin in the main somewhere. Dustin in the mix.
I don't know about Dustin, but okay.
Oh, come on. He can still go.
We'll nominate Nostalgia. But a tag team, Private Party, FTR.
You really see it for Private Party.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, let me add one more. Let me add one more person to the top tier. Jungle Boy.
Yes, Jack Perry.
Yes, Jungle Boy. But tag team, Private Party, FTR. I also like, anything that the hybrid two do, but they probably won't get enough love. But they got a gazillion tag teams over there. Women, Sheeta, Jade Cargill, Britt Baker, Big Swole, if we can, her health is touch and go, but hopefully we can see some Big Swole. But yeah,
I would push Nyla Rose as a beast.
Oh,
I would push Nyla Rose as a beast and not have her get not have her get beat up by Japanese schoolgirls.
Yeah, Nyla Rose, forgot about her.
It's okay to forget about Nyla Rose.
Jade Cargill is the one though, because she got the other stuff that you can't necessarily give to people who are good wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
We can teach her how to wrestle. We can teach her how to sell. We can teach her how to, you know, be strong and be big and, you know, in the ring with the presence. We can't teach everybody how to walk out there and be that confident and have that look and have that sass and be
that person who turns heads.
Right.
And that's what Jade Cargill is.
Right, right. That could be their diamond in the
rough. If they have her be like an Andre, like just go out there and just slam folks around and stuff, yeah. If you're going to get her to start mat wrestling, I don't know.
No, yeah. You know, you got to be, it's all about how you bring them along. You know what I'm saying? See, again, here's what we talk about a lot. How many true wrestling people are involved in these companies? WWE, they have a lot of wrestling people, they used to, involved in the planning of the matches and the sequences, but not a lot of people in from wrestling crafting the storylines and keeping the continuity together. That's kind of what I feel in AEW. I don't think they have a lot of wrestling minds keeping the crafting of the story together. They have, you know, Dustin and Cody and QT and them teaching everybody how to do the moves and stuff. That's well and good. But you got to have those wrestling minds. You got to have those people who are just, you know, book wrestling.
And they have all that in the back.
They ain't using them for nothing.
And Arn Anderson, but they don't use Arn and Tully and Jake. And, you know, even they don't use Chris Jericho like that. They got Christian now. They got, out here, I don't know if I trust Big Show.
Taz.
But, you know, Taz, yes.
Taz is like a human disciple.
Look, I know the young kids. I know the young kids don't like his approach or his bluntness, but JR be spot on damn near all the shit that he be talking. Like simple tweaks and shit that they can make that don't make no damn sense. Like, yes, get your, you know, JR will explicitly say, yeah, I might not be the person that likes all the flips and shit, but why would your dumb ass stand outside the ring and wait to catch a motherfucker? That makes no sense.
And like, their excuses, well, not really their excuse, but what they say is, like, that's how they were taught. And I've talked to wrestlers who I know personally, and they all say, yes, that's how we are taught. And I'm like, well, I don't know what the fuck then.
What about you, Mo? Who would you build AEW around?
Clearly, Hangman is could be one of their top stars. Hangman should be white in the mix for the title right now. And of course, MJF. So that's one and two right there. One name y'all didn't mention, Johnny, short dude
John Silver.
John Silver. Okay.
John Silver and Riddles. They could be in the mix for the tag team. AEW has so many tag teams. Like they had so many tag teams. So I would definitely have them in the mix. Right there with is Ray Phoenix and is Ray Phoenix back or Ray Phoenix in Pentagon, because he's over there.
It's Pac right now in the tag team division. They got a tag team title match coming up soon.
Breaking news: Pac is hurt.
Oh no!
Oh, yeah. Poor Neville.
Heard something about his ankle, so I think Ray Phoenix and Pentagon are tagging tomorrow on Dynamite.
Well, I'm not surprised.
Here's okay, for me personally, here's how I view WWE versus AEW. Okay, WWE might do silly, stupid shit. Like this whole Alexa Bliss crap that they got going on. Dumb as fuck. But they go all the way with it. They don't, there's none of this winking at the camera business. They're playing it straight up. If it was something in AEW, they'd be like, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Look at this. Like, the wrestling is bullshit, guys. Let's just have fun. Let's just have some silly, goofy fun. That's how they would do it there.
Like I said, they could just tighten it up, make a few little tweaks here or there.
What was the name of the young lady that went back to Japan?
Oh, dude, I can't remember her name, but Maki, I love that.
Maki Ito.
Yeah.
They could have fought to keep her over. They should have fought to keep her over.
That's, oh my god, she was the worst one.
Oh, no. Nah,
no, come on, bro, Sam.
She was bad.
Yo, oh, I'm going to be like this. You know, and Dwayne is going to hate me when I say this, but yo, she is my new Alex Wright. Give me all of her.
Okay, yeah, for that, but like, as far as wrestling, like, she's like, did you see her in DDT? My God.
Look, hey, I've seen worse DDTs. Just give me the damn character. I need some character.
Right, I don't need characters.
That whole thing on the stage was funny.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I need some character. Like, I don't want to say I love Rio. I don't love Rio. But Rio ain't got no character. She's cool in the ring, but she ain't got no character. Sheeta, same thing. I love Sheeta. I love her ability.
Yeah, like, she has no crit,
but low.
I just don't want to see her wrestle.
She can stand on the apron and do look whatever she can.
She's an interesting character.
Give me her. You know what I mean?
No, when she was giving that girl those fake like hits with the microphone, it was painful, but not the reason it's supposed to be painful. Like, my God, she might as well be hitting the air like.
She was watching it, and you had to sit there and look at it.
It was like that Dark Order punch in the air. It was like that.
All right, so Mo, were you done? Were there some other names that you had?
If I would definitely the TNT title. We never even talked about that, but damn, who's the mid caller? Who's like so good mid?
Whoever the good mid caller. Scorpio Sky could run up in there.
Yeah, okay. Scorpio Sky could definitely run with that title. He definitely needs a run because with the heel turn, he just.
Ricky Starks. I forgot about him. Ricky Starks. He definitely need to be in the mix. So
he need to break away from Team Taz because they're not really doing anything for him. And the women's side, definitely Britt Baker will be at the top. So it's like I say, if Swole could get her health together.
Thunder.
What's wrong with Swole? What's wrong with Swole?
I can't keep looking at her wrestle. She's so bad.
Serena Deeb, Thunder Rosa, definitely Thunder Rosa.
Yes.
But Thunder Rosa, they might be running back over the NWA because they back up in business.
It's so weird. Thunder Rosa was so horrible when she was in Lucha Underground, but she got good.
Hey, is that what you want?
That's what you get. You put that work in, you can improve.
Is that what you want? You want to be good?
I was like, yeah, because like if you see her, she was Cobra Moon. Cobra Moon. And
yeah.
She was just bad. She was just like my God, is it the mask? Can you not see over the mask?
I was on cage side seats things last week, and they was doing where all of end up Lucha Underground alumni were at, and it was real interesting to see.
You got King Cardo in NXT,
right? He's in NXT. I didn't even know. Karrion Kross had a cup of coffee in Lucha.
Nah, who cares?
Scarlett wasn't there, it didn't count.
Yeah, I was about to say, if Sable wasn't there, I don't care about Mark Mirror. So before I get to my last topic, before we wrap up, Sam, you got anybody that you would focus AEW around?
On the men's side, currently MJF. On the women's side, definitely Jade Cargill, at least to be a heel for the babyface to chase.
Okay. Any tags?
Nah, they all suck.
FTR sucks? Come on.
No, I forgot about FTR.
But they're
flying so under the radar right now over there. It's just kind of like, it seems like they're coasting sometimes. I don't know. Just based on like the little bit that I see.
Nah, FTR is like, the one team that every tag team over there who's like all about that flippy shit, like Private Party, the Hybrid 2, all those teams that do all that indie-rific shit, when they wrestle FTR, they have their best match because they let them do some of it, but they make them sell for the other part of it, majority of it too. Yeah. That Young Bucks match against FTR was a classic.
Yeah. Did you hear the advice that Cornette gave them? He's like, boys, if they say that they're gonna do this and this shit on you, you say no, the fuck you will not. And if they try it anyway, you move out of the way.
That's how I would feel about if I was Kofi and Xavier Woods at WrestleMania. No, he does nothing but kick, punch, and stomp. That's it.
Nothing from the Black Kali. All right.
Damn. He's already that already? Jeez. You ain't seen the guy.
I'm good. All right. So, to wrap up. Here we go, Don. Here we go, Mo. Y'all know where I'm about to go. My favorite person to talk about.
Can we save up for the Mo Meltzer segment, please? Go ahead.
I mean, we could talk about Charlotte Flair again. You know, I'm all about the business when it comes to the Queen. But let's talk about the Queen missing WrestleMania. All right. So Charlotte caught COVID. She's been off television for the past couple weeks. She was scheduled to face Asuka for the championship. That's not going to take place.
She wasn't ready.
That spot.
best thing that ever happened to Charlotte Flair's career.
So now the debuting Rhea Ripley, who I am glad it seems like she's coming in as a heel, good stuff, will take her place. All right. So, since Charlotte is missing this year's WrestleMania, or at least is not in the title match, then she's not taking somebody's opportunity for once.
We're going with this.
I love you're not tone deaf to your fave. I love it.
And since she's not stealing an opportunity at this year's WrestleMania, now, at the end of this year's WrestleMania, Charlotte Flair will now be tied with Sasha Banks for the most championship matches at WrestleMania for women, with 5. So, does this mean that Charlotte no longer steals opportunities, or are we throwing Sasha Banks in that mix now too? Which one is it? Because we like to talk about Charlotte Flair, but we don't like to talk about, because let's talk about another person who's currently tied with Charlotte, Becky Lynch, and she would have been in the title. We know she would have been in the title match this year if she didn't get knocked up by the Messiah.
I think I'm just going to speak on this. I think that with Charlotte, what happens is the frequency at which her turn comes around seems to wear people out. Not that she's had so many turns. It's just that it seems like with Sasha, oh, you know what? I didn't know she had 5 main events at WrestleMania. That's surprising to me. But if you told me Charlotte had 5, I'd be like, Yeah, that seems about right. And it just seems like her time just comes around all the time. And granted, like I said, I think this might be the best thing that happened to her. She missed this WrestleMania because unless she was beating Asuka, I mean, not beating Asuka, but losing to Asuka, people were going to be totally on the other side of this when Charlotte Flair came out of that match. She would have had to go super heel.
And that's the thing, granted, I know Charlotte's had a bunch of title opportunities at WrestleMania, but we act like that Charlotte is undefeated at WrestleMania. She is not. So it's not like she's going to WrestleMania every year and winning.
Well, they just recently broke the streak, last year. She had one like four or five in a row. She was getting up.
She's there. She's 3-2.
She won last year at WrestleMania 2.
She's 3-2 at WrestleMania. So she won this last ain't year at WrestleMania 2. You said what?
She won last year at WrestleMania.
That's one of the three. She's 3-2.
I was like, she won last year at WrestleMania.
That's what made her 3-2. She was 2-2 before. See, and even Don said, Don just thought that she whipped off 3 in a row or 4 in a row. She was 2-2 before last year. So we assume that since her opportunity comes around a lot frequently, that she's had so many wins, but that's not true. But what's wrong with Charlotte having the opportunity? Has she not earned it? She's the top star in the division.
I think that when you only do jobs for the title to one person, it hurts your credibility a little bit.
Who's the one person?
She's only losing to Sasha and Becky.
She's lost to Bayley twice, and she lost to Carmella.
She did?
Yeah, she lost to Carmella. She lost. Carmella's cash-in was against Charlotte. And then she went back and jobbed to her in a rematch.
She did.
Okay, well, you know, I'll be corrected. But it's a difficult.
Like, I get it. She's a cactus. And that's the thing, Don. I totally get it. Like, and that's a perfect analogy. She's a cactus. Like, it's just like, you know, Roman Reigns is just like John Cena was for a little bit. You know, if you're at the top for so long, especially in, sometimes I attribute it to the fact that women's wrestling hasn't been as prominent for so long, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, women's wrestling being as prominent as it, I mean, we're walking into WrestleMania 37. Like, it was WrestleMania 32 when really this whole women's revolution, I hate that term, jumped off on the main roster. So 5 years ain't shit.
Yeah, the reset.
You know,
you can call it the reset.
You know,
the death of the butterfly title.
Yes. So 5 years since the reset, you know, that's not a long time. So I can understand to some point where it's a cactus situation with people that Charlotte pops up all the time, but you need a star to build the division around. And to her credit, Charlotte was always the reliable one. Bayley wasn't always on point. Sasha wasn't always on point. It took a while for Asuka to warm up to the powers to be on the main roster. Whether that's right or wrong, I think it's fucking wrong because Asuka's always been dope. That's just what it was. You know, they tried Nia. Nia wasn't what they thought they were getting. Becky didn't find her place until the man shit. So, but Charlotte was always the one consistently knocking it out the park. That's just what top stars get. They get their spot. Just like Randy Orton just said, yo, I earned this spot and I'm going to have it as long as I fucking want to. Those are his exact words. But shit, the same can be said about the queen. She's earned it.
Did he earn it or did he just outlast everybody?
Or did he just escape those suspensions and had somebody in the back looking out for him?
God damn, man. How many times has Randy Orton been suspended? You know, I know it's probably less than Jeff Hardy, but it has been up there.
Yeah, man. Randy Orton, see, this is what happened. Vince is loyal, and God knows that Bob Ace Orton and that cast made the WWF a whole lot of money back in the day. So you know he was going to look out for his son. You know what I'm saying? Then, not to mention the older guys, Ric Flair, Triple H, You know what I'm saying? Just saying, hey, you know what I'm saying? He's just a wild stallion. You know what I'm saying? We got to break him. We got to break him. And it just took a little bit longer, I guess, than they thought to break him. Plus, Vince has seen Sean, and I'm pretty sure he was like, you know, this ain't compared to what Sean was doing. We can get through this.
I have weathered the storm before.
Right.
These times, this is not exactly a crisis situation.
Yeah, they're much more well-equipped to handle somebody being totally out of line in 2002, 2003, 2004 than they ever were in 1995 and early 96 and 94 when Shawn Michaels was out here doing God knows what.
Losing a smile.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Lost a smile.
Oh, man. Look, I would go on the WWE Network and watch that speech, but
Peacock, we cannot.
But Peacock ain't got shit. So, hey, that's my preview for the next episode of The Push, because I'm about to talk cash shit about WWE's move from their own network to the damn cock.
They own the cock.